Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
For today's message, Pastor Going takes a text from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse number 14, considering how a Christian should act in fellowship with other Christians. I trust that today's message will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Here's Pastor Going.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is where we're going to turn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I still remember sitting in church on a pew as a little boy with legs too short to touch the floor and an attention span that was even shorter. And I remember my mom quietly teaching me the words and the hand gestures to a familiar little poem that generations of church-going children have committed to memory. Maybe you've heard it before. It went something like this: here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, see all the people, close the doors, hear them pray, open the doors, they've all gone away. Is it just me, or did you grow up knowing that, some of you? I see some smiles. Just a simple little children's poem. It reminds us that it's people, average, ordinary people who make up the church, people who are unpredictable, people who have different opinions, different personalities, different perspectives, different walks of life, people from different generations, and yet we've become a part of the church of the living God. And we're all brought together. We're connected within the body of Christ. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be a part of the body, to belong to the family of God. It's a great privilege. And last week, we looked together at what Paul had to say about the relationship between the pastor and the people of the church. And this week, we're moving to verses 14 and 15, and we're going to look at what Paul says about how we should relate to one another, our relationships with each other as fellow believers in the church. And so we're going to look here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Paul says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." This isn't the first time that Paul has addressed how we relate to one another in the book of 1 Thessalonians. You might remember back in chapter 3, verse number 12, Paul prayed that the Lord would make these brothers and sisters in the Thessalonian church to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. So he's already prayed that they would have this divine love towards one another. And this is a theme that we find all throughout the New Testament. You could go to Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, and Paul called the believers in the Galatian church to serve one another in love. You could go to his letter to the Ephesian church, and he called the believers in Ephesus to forbear with one another in love. And he said that the body of Christ is to grow and build itself up in love. Paul prayed for the church at Philippi. He prayed for the Philippian believers that they would abound more and more in their love. He longed for the believers in the Laodicean church and in the Colossian church that they would be knit together in love for one another. James reminded his readers of the royal law that we love our neighbor as ourself. The Apostle Peter called the saints to love one another fervently. Fervent love, he said, with a pure heart. And then, of course, the Apostle John wrote on this subject. He said, "This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." He said, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." And this is how we know it. He said, "Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." So you can't read the New Testament without understanding that God is deeply concerned about how we relate to one another, how we're connected to one another in the body of Christ, in the family of God. And over in the New Testament, there are these pictures of ways that we're connected to each other. We are living stones built up on one another. We are various parts that make up a body. We are the family of God. We even read instructions about how the younger generation, the older generation, and the church are to relate to one another. And when we come to these verses here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul gives us some very practical instructions about how we're to relate. And he seemed especially interested in how it is that mature, established Christians should help those who are struggling, or maybe those who are disheartened or discouraged in their walk, those who are weak in their walk. How do we come alongside them? How do we walk together with them? Notice in verse 14, he gives three instructions. First, he says, warn the unruly. And then he says, comfort the feeble-minded. And then thirdly, he says, support the weak. Now, if we're going to understand that verse, we need to ask a few questions. Who are the unruly? Who are the feeble-minded? Who are the weak? How do we help them? Well, we're going to try to answer those questions. First, Paul talks about the unruly. Bible scholars suggest that the image that Paul has in mind when he talks about the unruly, he has in mind the idea of the church as an army of soldiers. And we are marching in rank and file together. We're marching in order together. Everyone following a leadership for the good of the whole group. But there are some soldiers who fall out of rank. They're not in line. They're no longer marching in formation. They're over here on the side, kind of doing their own thing. They're not cooperating with, they're not in harmony with the rest of the body. And Paul calls them unruly. These are people who are kind of on the fringes of the church. They want to be in good standing. They call themselves Christians. They want to be treated as such. But they don't enter into the life of the church. They can't be counted on to help carry the load. They might or might not show up faithfully when the body gathers for worship. They might or might not give of their finances to help in the work of the church. They're uncommitted. They don't want to be held accountable. They're not marching in harmony with everybody else. They're just kind of doing their own thing. And it might be that the unruly, as Paul calls them, it might be that at one time they were very involved in the life of the church. They were plugged in, but for some reason or another, maybe because of offense, maybe because of distraction, possibly because of exhaustion, they have drifted away from involvement and connection. Until now, they're fairly well disconnected, more observers than participators in the life and the ministry of the church. And I want to say to us this morning, it's a very dangerous thing to fall out of ranks in the church, to get disconnected from the body, to become a lone ranger. God never intended for us to serve Him alone. Did you understand that? He intends for us to serve within the community of the body. We serve God within the context of a community, and it's God's will that every Christian be connected to a local church and that they be invested and involved in that church in some way. God intended for us to serve Him in connection with and to the body of Christ in the local church. Now, let me clarify. There are times, there are seasons in life where we may be more or less involved in the ministry of the church. There are so many factors at play. When there are young children at home, when there are aging parents to care for, when there are serious physical or even emotional challenges, sometimes our involvement in church may look and feel a little different in different seasons of life. And I would say to us, until you've walked a mile in someone else's shoes, we don't stand as judge and jury. Some of you would recognize the name of Vance Havner. He was a fairly plain-spoken evangelist. And early on in his ministry, he'd been very critical of people who had experienced difficulty with their nerves. And then in his mid-30s, he developed some nerve issues himself. And after that time, he said, for 2 years, I suffered from nervous exhaustion. And he said, I learned not to laugh at nervous people. And so we walk carefully and with discernment here. But there are times when someone begins to drift away from the life of the church, and they're obviously out of step, increasingly disconnected from, out of harmony with the body. And Paul tells the Thessalonians, we are to warn these people, we are to admonish them. Now, I would very quickly say that Paul is not deputizing us to be a posse of church sheriffs who go around with the purpose of keeping other people straight. We could probably all think of examples of folks over the years in various places who took on themselves the role of the Holy Spirit. And they thought that they'd been appointed to keep everybody else straight. And there's no telling how many good people have been driven away from God's church by those who were harsh and unwise and unbalanced, unbiblical in their warning and their admonishing. And I would suggest to you that the primary responsibility of admonishing the unruly first belongs to those who serve in pastoral leadership. But this passage does go beyond that. Paul is writing to the people of the church. He says, brethren, he's not just speaking to the ministry. He says, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Now, before you go warning or admonishing an unruly person, you better be sure they actually fit in that category. And you better be sure that you have a relationship with them that allows you that kind of interaction. If you've not had a previous relationship with that person, if you've never spoken an encouraging word to them, if they've not seen positive evidence of your love for them, you're probably not the one to admonish them. And admonishing someone is not about pushing your personal opinion on them. And so I would say, if you're going to speak to somebody about how they're unruly, how they've fallen out of line, you better do so with great discernment and with much prayer and with great humility and great carefulness. And if you're just not sure, then you probably should leave it to someone else. But at the same time, it isn't loving to distance yourself from a fellow believer who's beginning to drift away. It isn't loving to just passively watch him as he moves in the wrong direction. So it needs to be a mature believer who carries out this responsibility. But sometimes this is what love looks like in the family of God. We see a sheep that is starting to drift from the flock, and we come alongside them and we warn them of the dangers of drifting from the church, drifting to places where they might be devoured by the enemy. And when we love somebody, we're willing to push past the awkwardness and warn them. If we saw one of our young children after a service begin to wander through the field on this side of the church, out to Highway 72, we wouldn't hesitate to say, "Stop!" And we'd run after them. We'd want to save them. We'd want to spare them the dangers of the highway. And yet sometimes we're so hesitant to warn someone who is walking further and further from the safety of the church, from the truth, and getting closer and closer to the world, becoming more and more susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. Within the family of God, we're accountable to each other. And that's biblical. And we have a responsibility to be watchful of one another, to warn those who are drifting, those who've gone AWOL in the battle. If we love someone, we will be watchful. We will warn them. But again, this requires such careful discernment. Because some people are not unruly people who need to be warned or admonished, but they're among the second group of people that Paul says need to be encouraged. And sadly, there have been many times when a discouraged, disheartened Christian needed to hear an encouraging, uplifting word, but instead they got a warning. And the warning didn't help. It simply heaped condemnation instead of helping the brother, the sister along the way. Warning is appropriate for the one who is unruly, but encouragement is appropriate. Comfort is appropriate for the one who is discouraged. Paul says, encourage the feeble-minded. Now, in our King James Bible, that word feeble-minded isn't talking about someone's intelligence. One commentary notes that the word feeble-minded refers to a Christian who is fretful, discouraged, depressed, worried, one who feels inadequate, fearful, timid. These are souls who may, because of the challenges of life and discouragements, may be on the edge of giving up. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were a number of people like this at the church in Thessalonica. They had faced great persecution. There were those in the city who weren't happy with Paul, who had come preaching the gospel, and they were opposed to everything these Christians believed. Many of them may well have lost all of their personal possessions. They may have lost their livelihood. Some of them may have lost family members because of persecution. And you can understand how an atmosphere like that would be discouraging. It would be a hotbed for doubt, for fear. And Paul says these discouraged, downhearted, disheartened people need to be encouraged. What is this encouragement that Paul's talking about? It's the idea of entering with someone into their trials, consoling them, comforting them. I was reading about a man who had three sons who passed away at different times. And he said, "I was sitting, torn by my grief, and someone came and talked to me of God's dealings, of why it happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly. He said things I knew were true. But he said, I was unmoved, except to wish he'd go away, and he finally did. Then he said, another man came and sat beside me. He didn't talk. He didn't ask leading questions. He just sat beside me for an hour or more, listened when I said something, answered briefly, prayed simply, and left. And this man said, I was moved, I was comforted, I hated to see him go. I pray that God would make us a church full of wise, discerning encouragers. I'm praying that God would make me a better encourager, to be the kind of person that doesn't have to always be pumped up myself, but that would be able to encourage and refresh others.
That was Booth Brothers with the song, This Love Is Mine. I'm thankful that because of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that you and I can know the love of Christ dwelling within, helping us to love others. My friend, if you have any questions about today's message, or you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with God and where you stand before Him, we'd be happy to talk with you. Please contact us by calling 717-273-3690. Or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church, located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. This week, we begin the 95th annual Ono Camp Meeting, located on Camp Meeting Road, which intersects Route 72, just south of Jonestown. Ono Camp begins this afternoon at 2:30 with special music by the Lebanon Valley Gospel Band, and then the evening service will start at 6:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday, the services will begin at 7 o'clock p.m., and then 2:30 and 6:30 p.m. next Sunday. We look forward to having the Jeremy Fuller family come and share in music and preaching ministry. Also, there'll be a special missionary service on Wednesday night and special music with a group from Penview Bible Institute on Saturday, beginning at 6:45 p.m. Now, we hope to see you in person, but if that's not possible, you can always watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There, you can also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.
In this age of uncertainty, questions come to my mind. What is waiting ahead for me and the rest of mankind? Fear not tomorrow.
Fear not to